kristne lidt om. Okay, good morning. We begin, I'm sorry, 10 minutes too late, and that we have technical difficulties in getting this projector to work. So I will start by connecting what we did the last time with what we are going to do today. So central for this course, security as continuous improvement, is the issue as to how to develop and sustain continuous improvement of security. And the essence, the core of what we did last time was to develop a model for quality improvement. Okay, that was the technician who came to help, and I agreed that he should come at 10 o'clock when we have a break and try to fix the best solution here. So anyhow, for continuous improvement of security, we look at the insights coming from quality improvement in general, because continuous improvement of security is just one aspect of continuous improvement of quality. And experience has shown that most enterprises trying to develop quality management do not succeed in doing that. As many as 90% of the efforts to develop quality programs do not produce good results. Sometimes they achieve the opposite, and very often there is no return on investment. And the clue to that, based on many research projects that were conducted at MIT, but also some research projects that I led related to the continuous improvement of security in computer security response incident teams. We find the same mechanism all the time, and that is that there are, you have always limited resources. You can measure the resources by the total personal hours that you have in your enterprise. And these resources can be allocated to deliver what the enterprise is supposed to deliver, producing services, producing products, whatever, or improving security. And that is the direct performance that we call the work harder loop. That means exerting pressure to work more effectively, increasing the time spent working so as to improve the actual performance. Alternatively, you can dedicate resources to work smarter. And working smarter means doing things better, improving the capability of the tools, the processes, the resources that you have. But to improve such capability, you have to discover things, you have to innovate. So that means the time spent on improvement will, with some time delay, which can be considerable, some investments in the capability to do whatever you're supposed to do better, which then is quite sustainable, because once you have invented the wheel, you have the wheel. You do not de-invent that. So that means that innovation will ultimately also improve your performance. And the fact is, you can innovate as much as you will. There is no ceiling, there is no limit to imagination. Whereas the opposite thing, the time that you have at your disposal is limited. So this trade-off between investing time to work harder to produce immediate results, and the other, to invest time to discover things that make you better, this is the clue of the matter. Because you have to produce. So you have, in a sense, to work hard to deliver what you're supposed to do. But on the other hand, you need this continuous improvement in order to be able to become better and better in a world that demands by competition, be it with competitors, be it against malicious agents. In such a world of competition, you have to improve continuously. So the whole thing is theoretically easy, but it is not so easy, because you have to determine the right amount for innovation and right amount to deliver results. In this set of feedback loops, you have the problem that if you choose the wrong strategy, then the reinforcing loop, called reinforcing here, will reinforce the strategy that you have chosen. If you work too much hard, then you are all the time in firefighting mode. You have to run as hard as possible, to work as hard as possible to deliver. If you have chosen the right, if you choose too much of innovation, then of course you are not delivering, and then your enterprise will sooner or later get broke. So you have to find the right balance between the two, so that the reinforcing cycle is making you better and better and better, and you're getting more and more slack. There is another pitfall, and that is the one depicted here by the shortcuts loop. The shortcuts loop means that even if you have the right amount of innovation and you are doing well, owing to time pressures, if there are, say, situations that you haven't been aware of, or if your project is delayed, or if you have a shortage of resources and so on, if you start deploying resources dedicated to innovation, to delivering results, to working harder, then you can go fall back in the trap, the capability trap, and then you are working harder and harder and firefighting and so on. We will see later in a chapter dedicated to computer security incidents response teams that that was exactly what happened in the first attempt by a major CSIRT that we partnered with in a research project. That was exactly what happened to them when they tried to achieve continuous security improvement. They failed because of this attempt, because the necessity to take shortcuts when they were falling behind the delivery line. So that was the essence of what we did in the last course 2 weeks ago. Today we will look in detail at a system dynamic model that allows us to understand better the mechanism in such situation. So rather than starting with the overview of group model building, which is the first thing that I have here, we will have a look at the simulation model of the quality improvement paradox. And there, what you find is a set of slides, which I am going to look at in a moment. And a further documentation of this model, which you find here. And there is also some additional materials that we will be using. In addition, there is an original article by Morrison that gives us, from which I have borrowed the model and the ideas. Okay, so let's fetch the slides. Okay. So you have that as a PDF, and this is again the model that I discussed just a moment ago. Now, even if it looks as a system dynamic model, this is not a model that can be simulated, and the reason for that you learned in the exercises that we had last time, and that is because every time you see a feedback loop like B1 and B3 and for that matter all the others, every time you see feedback loop there must be a variable that is a stock in them. And you can clearly see that the balancing loop B1 doesn't show the stock, nor does this one here. In the exercise that we conducted last time, we realized that the stock is the time that is available, the time resources that are available. So in between here, you have to put the stock, and there are more things that are necessary in order to get it to simulate. Now, if we wanted to develop a simulation model that involves all these feedback loops, then the structure gets quite complicated. And therefore, we are going to make it a bit simpler and still get the most important insights. And that's what we do here. The model proposed by Professor Morrison, who also was part of the team that worked with Sterman and Repenin at MIT on quality improvement, is much simpler than the original model by Repenin and Sterman because it has only two feedback loops. But still, we get the most important insights from that. Now, in the model that we are going to look at, you see a number of variables. And these variables you can easily interpret in terms of information security. So you see a variable problem introduction. And you can interpret that as security incidents. They cause problems. And you see another variable, process problems. They are the security incidents that are not yet resolved. While problem correction, there will be the security incidents that have been resolved. There is another variable called unattended problem process level. And that you can interpret as the level of unresolved security incidents from badly managed security. And finally, you have a variable, the average process erosion time. That will be the average time for security to decay to the unattended process level. That is, if security is not maintained. So if you have this in mind, and I will repeat it so that you don't have to remember all these names all the time, then we have a simple model with only two stocks and two feedback loops. So again, Here I am pointing with the pointer of the mouse. Process problems, they are problems of the process that we are conducting, and they are caused by security incidents in our interpretation. You could also use this model for something else, say for a manufacturing company, and then the process problems will be the problems that will lead to whatever is being manufactured gets defective. But here we think of process problems as security incidents. And because they are acting, they are causing problems, whatever the company or the enterprise is doing is getting defects or errors, so that the throughput, whatever it is producing, is no longer of high quality. Some of it, services or products, are okay, others are not. And this is caused by the security incidents. Now, problem introduction, they are the successful attacks, the security incidents, and they are being, they are occurring all the time, and they aggregate, they are, in a sense, stored in the stock process problems, the unresolved security incidents. Then the security incidents are corrected, that's problem correction. So you have a continuous process that new security incidents occur, and after a while they are corrected. So obviously the amount of unresolved security incidents is the important thing for the enterprise, because they are those that are causing problems to the company in its products or services or whatever it is producing. As I said, unattended problem process level would be the security level for the company that you will have if security is not attended. In a sense, if you didn't correct the problems that are occurring. And this is to characterize the process of problem introduction, we use these two variables. The one is the level of unattended security. The other is the average time for this to occur if security is not maintained. Okay? So then the company is has two options. It has resources. This is called the available time. The available time is measured in terms of staff multiplied for how much the staff works per week, for instance. So if you have 20 persons in the staff and each person works 40 hours, then the available time per week will be 20 times 40, that is 800 hours per week. And now, part of it is used for whatever the enterprise is supposed to do, for the throughput, to producing things, allocation to production, and what is not allocated to production, to working hard, is allocated to security, allocation, in this case, to problem correction. We are assuming, and that's the problem here, that the enterprise is working in a reactive mode. So that is, it is correcting or resolving the security incidents. So this model is very simple, because we are not considering the possibility that the enterprise will be proactive and improve the processes so as to increase the security more and more. Here, security is increased by resolving the problems that occur. And that's the basic idea of the model, and that gives you two feedback loops. This one, where you have allocation to production to the gross process throughput. Gross is the same as brutto in Norwegian. So you are counting how much that is produced, no matter whether it's usable or not. But then, because of the problems or the defects introduced by the security incidents, you have a netto or net process throughput, which is the one that is usable. And as usual in any enterprise, the management tries to achieve some level, so they have a desired throughput, and the difference between this and the net process throughput is the throughput gap that wants to be they want to close. In order to close that gap, there is a resource gap that needs to be closed, which determines the desired allocation to production, and that gives you the feedback loop working hard. But then, owing to the allocation to problem correction, you have another loop that goes like this, and this is called here rework, in the sense that it requires reworking to solve the security problems. So this model, we are going to work a little bit with that, needs to be created in Vensim. The solution is in the model files you find in the frontend room. So you can do it by yourself, and I will recommend you as an exercise that you do it, since you have all the explanations that you need in order to create a model. So first, you would draw the diagram that we saw in the previous slide, and then you have to enter equations. And the equations are given in the document a system dynamics model of process improvement, and that is available for you. That is this document here. This one, where I'm pointing to, document. So if you look at this, you have a more detailed explanation of the model. You have a repetition of what I said so far about the variables and so on. You have the model. And then you have the equations. You can see them here. So allocation for maximum problem correction, 400 hours per week. That's a different number as the example that I gave before. So that means there are 100 staff each working 40 hours. Average process erosion time, and so on, they are all given here. Then all the other equations of the model, they are given here, below in the table, and so on. So all the details are there, so you can reproduce the model. So after entering all the equations, you discover that there are two variables left that are not in the list. And the reason for that, you will understand in a moment. These two variables are desired throughput and initial allocation to production. I show you the variables in the model. So once you have entered all the equations, this one is still undefined, as is in the top, the variable initial process problems, if I remember that correctly. No, initial allocation to production, sorry. So this and this, they are not defined. Why not? The reason is that we want the model to be originally in steady state. We want it to be in a state in which nothing happens, all the time is the same. And here's the reason. Whenever it is feasible, there are exceptions where you cannot do that, I will explain that later. But whenever it's possible or feasible, you should initialize the system dynamic models so that they are in steady state. All the variables are constant over time. And the logic is very simple. If you want to explore possible actions with the model, and that's why you develop models so that you can conduct what-if experiments without having to pay in reality to do that. It will be very, very expensive for a company to say, let's try this, and if it goes bad, okay, that doesn't matter, then we try something differently. You rather prefer to use system dynamic models, simulation models, because they cost very little, and very quickly you can experiment with different strategies. But then, in order to understand the impact of different strategies, you have to compare with something. And if you have a model that is stable, then anything that changes when you do conduct some strategy must be due to the strategy. If the model all the time was changing and you do something and it changes again, how do you find out what is the internal logic of the changes in the model or in reality from the changes that you are provoking through your strategy? So that's why if you have a model that is in steady state, you can be sure on simulation that whatever changes when you introduce changes in the parameters has been introduced by your decisions, by your parameters. Okay? So then the question arises, okay, we want now the model to be in steady state. How do we proceed? Remember, we have two variables that are not defined. So let's fix these variables so that they make the model stable in steady state. That's the idea. So how do we achieve the steady state? See, that means that the model variables stay at constant values throughout time, throughout the simulation time. You can then conclude two things. What goes into the stocks must be equal to goes out of the stocks. Remember, the stocks are like a bathtub. If you want the level in the bathtub to be constant, and water is entering and water is going out, then you have to make sure that as much as is entering the bathtub goes out. So in the model here, you must require in the top that problem correction equals to problem introduction. Then the level of the security incidents that are unresolved, the process problems stayed constant. And here you have another stock. Here you have only something going in. Then you must require that this must be zero. So in general, the sum of what goes in minus what goes out must be zero, must be equal. The sum of what goes in minus what goes out must be zero, or what goes in must be equal to goes out. It's another way of saying the same thing. Okay, so that's one of the criteria. The other criterion must be that the gap in the balancing loop is zero. Because if it is not zero, then you have a difference between desired throughput and net process throughput, and this is causing this balancing loop to act. So again, the net inflow for all stocks must be zero, which means the same as the sum of what goes in must be equal to the sum of what goes out. And then the balancing loops must be in equilibrium. That means the gap is zero, or the goal, the target, the desired value is achieved. So that means in this case, what goes in the stock for process problems is problem introduction, that must be equal to problem correction. What goes in the other stock allocation of time resources is adjusting allocation. It must be zero. There's nothing going out, so this must be zero. And finally, for the balancing loop, the net process throughput must be equal to desired throughput. So you put this as requirements and solve the equations of the model. And there is some work to do that, and you will get that as an exercise in the next hour to do that by yourself. It is not so difficult, but you have to look at the equations. If you do that, then you can solve and find out with the numbers that you have in this model that this desired throughput must be 1,440 witches per week. What is witches? Well, witches in Norwegian are dings, whatever is produced in the company. So if it's smartphones, they are smartphones per week. An initial allocation to production must be 2,000 hours per week. So I said you find this algorithm in page 4 of the document. So let's have a look at the document. This is the document that we are speaking about. This is the algorithm that you see here. In the middle. And the logic of this algorithm, I want you to explore as a little exercise in the beginning or the next hour. So it tells you what to do, and it is logically made this way that you are proceeding all the time from known values until in the end you get the final results. And in order to do these computations that are here, you have to look at the variable definitions which you have here. So you have a number of equations and you are putting numbers in them using the algorithm to get that. So if you do that and simulate, then you get constants everywhere. I am going to show you the VNC model, which you have in your Fronter. In Fronter, you can download it. So that's the model. And in the model, there is a simulation run file called equilibrium or steady state, it's the same thing. And when you simulate with these values, then everything is constant. As you can see in the graph here, net process throughput, the thick blue line, is constant over time. Desired throughput, the red line, which must be on the same place as the blue one, but in this case the blue line is hiding it. You have two lines on top of each other, and by some reason here the blue line is stronger than the red one, so you don't see the red line below, so they are equal. Then you have the green line for allocation to production, which is this. The process problems, which is the gray line, process problems is difficult to see here. it's a bit hidden. I am going to show them to you in a moment in a different way, so you can see them. What you must be aware of is the following. These variables that you see here, they are indicated here. Well, a bit confusing is that you have five variables, and there you have five scales. That is because two variables have the same scale. The variable for net process improvement throughput and desired throughput, they have the same scale. And that goes from 1,000, the value 1,000 is here, to 2,000 on top. Do you understand what I am trying to say? This, take any variable here. Net process throughput is on top, so the scale for that is the top one. This is the low.